morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. It indeed is a beautiful day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you on this fine day. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this beautiful morning. How are you doing? Well, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful day. I am broadcasting live from the Black Hills of South Dakota. Yes, indeed. Guess what? Sturgis, the 80th Sturgis Motorcycle Rally is about to kick off officially on the 6th, which is tomorrow. But boy, people are rolling into town, and it was so much fun last night. I got a chance to meet up with some friends from Kansas City and Iowa who came to town, and we went up to Deadwood, South Dakota last night. And if you know about Deadwood, South Dakota, it's an old town, of course, Wild Bill Hickok, those fun, and it was amazing walking up and down the street and watching people and watching people really walking around in freedom and in liberty without masks, enjoying their motorcycles starting to line the street. Of course, it's a little early, and you have to remember they only really decided about a month ago, about 6 months. Yes, indeed, we're going to go ahead and have the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. They did a vote in Sturgis, South Dakota, the council there. And I think it was like 7 in favor. And they thought, well, we better get ahead of this curve and come anyway. It's the 80th year. And it's been so fun visiting with people all around the country talking about how nice it is to be in South Dakota, a state that's free and with liberty. And I've often said, I think I'm going to talk to someone here that we're going to get to into this message a little day. I'm going to ask her how she wrote a book, but I want to write a book, The Tale of Two Governors, and compare our Governor Kate Brown with Governor Kristi Noem from South Dakota and how this pandemic. And it's so good to talk to people and find out how they've weathered the storm of COVID-19. And we want to stay encouraged. Of course, we know that really serious things going on in Pacific Northwest with businesses trying to stay afloat and stay ahead of the curve and trying to get back to work. And as Congress deals with what to do, do we do more stimulus? Don't we do stimulus? Do we extend the unemployment? There's a lot of questions in people's minds. What the next 6 weeks look, are we going to go to school? Aren't we going to go to school? Now, here in South Dakota, guess what? After Labor Day, kids are going back to school. There's other states. Iowa governors just said that they're going to send the kids back to school. But in Oregon, it looks like it depends on how people handle this pandemic. If they're wearing their mask and being good boys and girls, then maybe we will go back to school, but we'll see. And I don't know about you, but I am more motivated now more than ever to say that we need to definitely stay on top of things and sign that recall petition and go forward. So this morning, in an effort to encourage, engage, and stay on top, I want to say I brought into the studio, and it's my little studio on the go this morning, and so I've brought into the studio Jessica Merce. She is a author. She's a friend that I've known from many years ago when we worked together in radio, and she is a wife, a mother, and she has written a book, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. It says, Jessica Merce is not just a typical wife and mother, she's a law enforcement officer wife. That makes all the difference in the world. What many may not understand or even think about is the fact that when someone chooses a career in law enforcement, their spouse chooses that career with them. Nervous nights waiting to hear from her husband, who just called to say he would be late because of a shooter situation, worrying that he may not be able to talk a suicidal person out of doing something drastic, or having past criminals approach you in public when you are together as a family, are just a few of the things law enforcement spouses experience. A few years ago here in Rapid City, South Dakota, about 8 years ago, in fact, we just went over the 8-year mark, anniversary mark, there was an incident where several officers were attacked, basically. They approached a man walking alongside the road, and they were attacked, and we lost, several were wounded, two were lost in that incident, and I think that kind of spurred on in Jessica's heart what she wanted to do to encourage one another. And so this morning, I brought Jessica into the studio, and we're going to talk a little bit about how she came up with writing this book and a little bit more about the book. Jessica, good morning to you. How are you doing this morning?
I am well, Stacey Ann. Thank you so much for letting me connect with you and talk to the KSLM listeners in Salem. I am a local from the Black Hills. I love that I live in South Dakota, and I love that my husband is a law enforcement officer, but we're not immune from the challenges that some people might think in South Dakota. It is a very difficult time. I'm trying to remain positive, and sometimes it's just honest. It's hard to watch the news, listen to the news when you see things going on. But I had it laid on my heart about 6 years ago that law enforcement officer wives just needed encouragement. Some of the books that I would read or I found weren't very faith-based. They didn't really hit the spot for me. I felt like I was reading someone that didn't really wear the shoes and walk the walk. And I started to kind of journal and write some notes together, and that evolved into a little Bible study that I shared with some fellow police wives, and they said, Jess, your heart is definitely in this. You have a ministry here, and you should share this. And at that time, I remember pitching my book to a few people, and it wasn't a popular time for law enforcement books. Well, can you imagine now? It's definitely not a popular time for law enforcement books, but I had personal funding and some people support it, and we're just right on the year anniversary of it being available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and I love hearing the feedback. It's called Moments of Truth, an inspirational journey for wives of law enforcement officers. And I just wanted women, when they picked up this book, that they felt like they had a friend, that someone knew what they were going through, whether they read it in the morning with their cup of coffee or while they were unwinding at night with a glass of wine, that I get what their worries are. I've had those fears. My husband has been in law enforcement in different capacities. He was, he still is a military police officer with the Army Reserve National Guard. We've done one 11-a-month deployment away from each other while he served. He was a police officer in Rapid City for 10 years, where you mentioned we saw horrific tragedies, 3 of them shot, 2 of them passing away. And now he's moved into a federal position, and he's a U.S. Marshal, and he is preparing to leave us Sunday for 5 months on assignment. So we're used to that separation. I'm used to not hearing from him for a while, and that's scary when we know that there's so much evil in the world. But we have to stand strong and support each other and pray for each other, and so that's what I wanted this book to do, is to provide encouragement to other wives.
And when I think about what's going on right now, particularly in Portland, Oregon, and all of the officers that are on the front lines, several levels, the local police, then you have the troopers, as far as the state troopers, Oregon state troopers, and then you have the federal agents. There's a lot of layers of people on the front lines that I think people don't realize how important it is to keep these folks in prayer and encouragement. When you hear all across the country that there's this big movement to defund our police, and in oftentimes that defunding includes, like, they won't have the gear that they need, they won't have the be able to do the strategic things that is needed. Tell me, what does that say to you as a wife of an officer? And you're connected with many other wives as well, and sometimes husbands whose wives are on the front lines. It's not just generally, it's a lot more, it's men, but there are women too serving on the front lines. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I always tell people, when you see someone in uniform, when you see them on the news or see them in the paper and they're lined up, there's a family behind them. There's somebody that loves them. They're a person. They're a human. And they are not just doing a job. They have been called to serve and protect. It's definitely a calling placed on their heart. And when people talk about defunding departments, I think of it, I saw a picture and it really struck to me. If you can imagine your city is at the bottom of a river, and your Salem's a beautiful city, just imagine there, and there's this huge dam around your city, And then on the other side of the dam is this huge floodwaters of crime, of evil, of things we don't even want to know about that these officers have to deal with daily, that the normal person, we're immune from it. We're kind of naive to it. And imagine if we take that dam away, or we shorten it, or we weaken it. Those floodwaters will flood into areas we don't want to know about, and crime's going to get into schools and impact more youth and just different things. It will ruin the city. And so I'm a huge supporter of building up that wall, provide training opportunities for these officers, get them in contact with other departments. I think there's a lot of great things happening. My husband's traveled. He was on a special assignment working to help the homeless. We actually have a large population of homeless in Rapid City. People don't think about that. They think we're just kind of immune in the small little Midwest town. And so he traveled to bigger cities to hear how they were tackling some of these issues. He's worked in schools as a liaison officer, so he knows some of the issues that the administration and students have to face. And I think those need to be built up, not taken away. So it's really hard for me. I can definitely get on a soapbox when it comes to that. And so I just really hope for those of you listening that if you know someone, a family in law enforcement, you need more than ever to support them. You need to encourage them. We need that more in our lives than ever, whether it's a quick little text, hey, I'm thinking about you, or I'm going to drop some donuts. I mean, cops like donuts. I talk about that in my book. Drop some donuts off at the station and say, we're proud of you. Keep it up. I think we need that real human connection and know that we're not in this alone. We're in this together.
And that's exactly where I'm at. And I know we've talked about this as a staff at the radio station. What can we do to get behind our frontline folks and encourage different communities that are in the listening area to support and let our frontline people know that we're there for them and that we're keeping them in our prayers and things. And we kind of joked a little bit, it would be fun like once a week. And I'm encouraging our listeners, if you have a good idea, and I'd love your feedback on this. If you have a really good idea of how we can encourage our local police officers and our certainly our community policing and our sheriff departments and things, one of the ideas that I had was potentially bringing donuts and coffee like on a Friday morning or something and presenting it to them and getting a sponsor. What ideas do you have, Jessica?
Well, I knew in our, I heard in our community that with all of the riots and the extra work, because especially with the rally right now, this is a very busy time for law enforcement officers. You can't ask for 2 weeks off in August. Like, it's all hands on deck. And so what was really helpful is just bottled waters and Gatorades, just that the officers have that. They can't necessarily run in and their cars get warm and hot. And so we put a little appeal out on the radio station here in town, and within like literally hours, they had so many bottles of water and Gatorades dropped off. It was amazing. I love that community support.
That's a great idea. We're going to continue the conversation here after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We are having fun hanging out in the Black Hills of South Dakota. A wonderful day indeed, and we're so glad that you're tuning in. We'll be back after this break.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, hanging out with you on this wonderful day. It's 7:22 in the morning, and we're having a wonderful conversation this morning with Jessica Mertz, who is a wife and a mother, and she's married to a man who's been in law enforcement for several years. And Jessica and I met actually working together in radio years ago, and I found out that she'd written this book, and she shared with me that this is actually the 1 year anniversary of the release of the book. So that's kind of fun. And she is encouraging wives and certainly inspiring those that need encouragement. And I can't imagine, Jessica, as I think about you know, your loved ones being on the front line. And I have not had anybody other than my dad who served in Vietnam, and friends that I know that have been in the military. And of course, when I lived here in Rapid City years ago, I was an honorary commander connected to the Ellsworth Air Force Base, which was a program that helped support airmen and women away from home. And my part was so fun. I worked with a lieutenant commander of the base and in the medical unit. And my role was to bring encouragement. So I brought coffee cards in and happy birthday cards, and I had the freedom and liberty to pray with people who needed it. And it was a 2-year stint, and I loved it. It was so important. So that's kind of the closest thing, other than here in Rapid City too, in the Black Hills of South Dakota, and I believe in Salem, Morgan, they have the same program. It's like a Citizens Police Academy, where you take a 12-week class, and you get to view what these frontline workers and law enforcement officers deal with on a day-to-day basis, and kind of get a picture into their world. And it was such a great opportunity. I mean, other than the fun things like shooting in the gun range, and I got to drive the car. We got to take it out to the base and drive the car and race around in a police car, which was pretty cool. Some of the other stuff was eye-opening about what they do, and particularly when there's a difficult situation and a riot or a threat or a bomb threat and things like that. So tell me, how do you stay encouraged? And tell me a little bit more about what the nuts and bolts are of your book.
Well, I want to speak to that Citizen Police Academy first, because I went through that same program when my husband first got hired as a police officer. I felt like I didn't quite know what his role was going to be. You know, sometimes we compare what we see on TV. Like, I'm like the cop shows? Is that what you're going to do? Or do you just pull people over all the time and give tickets? And he's like, nah, there's a lot of other facets. So I went through that Citizen Police Academy as well, and it was an eye-opener. And now I know that you might not have listeners that want to learn more about the law enforcement officers might not have the time or a program to go through 12 weeks, but I always encourage people, if you want to learn what it's like to be an officer, just spend an 8-hour shift in their shoes, and you can do a ride along. Most communities will let you do a ride along if you're 16, or even maybe it's 18 in Oregon. You have to fill out a little bit of form, and you get to just go along and shadow and be part of their shift, to go to briefings and be out there. And that, wow, that will open up your eyes. I said to a friend one time who was really anti-law enforcement, I said, before we continue our discussion, will you spend one night out with an officer and do a free ride along and just learn? And it blew her mind, totally changed her view. The next time we got together, she's like, I see. They obviously have to go through so much more training than I ever realized, just to talk to people, the empathy they show, just the different situations, how they have to just act on their feet in a split second, because every situation is different. There's no like black and white with things. And it just takes a special person to be in law enforcement. And so I always encourage people to check that out, because sometimes I find with myself, if I don't understand something, I need to look into it, and I need to learn. And that's kind of with my book too. I wanted to provide it kind of like a manual, a guide. If someone was a new officer's wife and just said, I don't get how I can support my husband, or how I can encourage him, or some of these things are funny, should I be laughing at this, or this is really worrying me and keeping me up at night. I wanted it to be set out as a manual. So it's kind of like a journal that you write in as well. So you read, and I share some of my failures and my funny moments, because I've had some funny moments, like leaving my kids too long in the car while I ran into the store to get groceries, and they called 911 asking for dad because mom was taking too long and they were stuck in their car. Yeah, you never want that to happen. I heard about that for a really long time. So I share my funny moments. I share my get into my vulnerable parts too. And that's really scary, I think, putting your words and your thoughts in a book and just kind of laying it out there. And like, but my whole thought was, if this helps one other wife to know that she's not alone, that someone else has thought these same things, someone else has done stupid things or not understand what their officer is doing, but they tried to learn and be better and encourage them, then it's all well worth it, even sharing my most embarrassing moments.
I think through our vulnerabilities and our realness, growth happens, and encouragement and trust too. And so it's so good to see that you're able to put that down into writing, which is an incredible skill. When I think about policing and I think about the men and women on the lines, I think of friends who've had husbands that have been on the front lines, and the burnout and the rate of suicide right now across the nation on our frontline workers and those responsible for those, with all of this demoralization of those on the front lines, it's really kind of staggering right now to have a book like this that brings such encouragement and hope. Share with us your website and where people can learn more about your book.
Again, the book is called Moments of Truth, An Inspirational Journey for Wives of Law Enforcement Officers. The website is momentsoftruthbook.com. And I really want to speak to that mental health, because who but a family member knows, is closer to someone and knows when they're struggling, right? When you can tell a family member isn't sleeping well, isn't eating well, and they're really stressed out, or they've started into some unhealthy behaviors, no matter if they're a law enforcement officer, just anyone you love, we've all been there and we've seen people go down that path. And I think it's really important that we don't just turn a blind eye to that, that we are there and we encourage them, and not just I'm going to pray for you, but just really get into their business a little bit and be like, you know, do you need help? And I talked to that in the book a little bit, that you need to know your husband's up chain. You need to know who his sergeant is, or lieutenant, or chief, if you noticed anything out of abnormal. Chaplains are great resources. Almost every single department has law enforcement chaplains. Just different assistance programs, because it is a pandemic that officers are more likely to end their own lives than to die in the line of duty, which is just horrible to think about when these people are trying to serve and do good, but the burdens they carry, the things they see, the ghosts that haunt them, those are real things that we need to be aware of so we can help them and support them.
Great time. A good message at the right time. We're talking with Jessica Mertz, and we are going to be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. We'll be back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Broadcasting live from the Black Hills of South Dakota. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. And I want to thank all of you that are tuning in from all over the country. I'm getting Facebook messages and emails from people all over. Thank you for tuning in. You can listen and tell your friends and family, KSLM.news. We stream online, of course, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, 1220 AM, 104.3 FM. And we'll have these shows back up on the podcast here shortly. I got an email from my friend Avis. Where are the podcasts? And usually I have them up in the same day, but we're working on it with technology. I'll work on it a little bit this morning and get our podcast from the last few days up on our website. So glad to have you along this morning. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And of course, I want to thank our sponsors. We have a brand new sponsor I'm so excited to announce. Thank you to Dave and Paige Smith. They're with One Group, Willamette Valley Realty. And they're ready to go above and beyond to serve you. So if you have real estate needs, maybe you're looking to upgrade into a brand new home, maybe you're looking to downsize and get real simple, or maybe you're moving into the area or you're moving out of the area, Dave and Paige would love to help you. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. We're continuing the conversation this morning, and my heart has been so heavy for the police officers and those in law enforcement on the front lines. Particularly, we know how stressful it has been in Seattle area, and then certainly they kind of disengaged that area, that zone there, and now it's all in Portland, and the national eyes are on what's going on in Portland. And it's interesting, there's been a transition over this last few days where the federal folks have backed off, and apparently Kate Brown says we're going to step up our efforts to secure the area, or at least allow it to continue, but we'll take care of it from here. And so she's called the state troopers to take control or try to defend some of the areas. And it's something that's been going on now for over 50 days, closer to 60 days, I believe, in the Portland area. And I'm just thinking of all the families affected, all the families that have been hurt. And I think about when I hear the stories of the, you know, the little things that are being thrown at them, the water bottles and all of the gadgets and things and the lasers in the eyes. And just these folks are hired. This is their job to defend and to keep people safe. And when you hear stories that people are hurt or they're having medical incidences and the law enforcement and the first responders, the EMTs can't get into them, it's very disheartening to think, where are we in America and how are we allowing this to be okay? I'm not okay with it. And I want to just give a moment and not to be a downer or discouraging, but this is where we're at right now. And it's a critical part of our country that we need to really stay focused on it and ramp up the prayers and find out ways that we can support our heroes on the front lines. And that's why I contacted Jessica when I had heard about her book. And because we're in the Black Hills of South Dakota, I wanted her to come in and talk about how we can stay encouraged and how we can encourage and be of encouragement to those on the front lines. And Jessica says, look for ways. And I know for me personally, when I see someone in a uniform, military, someone who is a sheriff, I saw someone the other day downtown Salem on a motorbike, and he was stopped on a corner, and I just said, "Hey, sir, I just want to thank you for your service and let you know that I'm praying for you." And he smiled and he said, "Thank you." Whatever we can do to ramp up the support and encouragement, and certainly keep our police chief in Salem, Mr. Moore, in our prayers as well. And this is a critical time, my friends, and we've got to keep in tune and aware, and we've got to do what we can do to give feedback and stay engaged and involved. Jessica, when you were hearing about all of the ramping up and the protests, and of course, you and I, we can't have this conversation without addressing the fact that what happened to Mr. Floyd was wrong. We know that was wrong. 100% of Americans said that was absolutely wrong, that force, it was uncalled for. No one disagrees about that. We don't disagree with the fact that there can always be more training. There can always be ways that we can be better as individuals and as communities, and certainly how we police things. And I think relationship, having that community policing and that relationship, at which here in Rapid City, we've been very fortunate in the Black Hills to do that. And I think in Salem, I think what I understand is Salem's police force is one of the better ones in the nation, in fact. And so we're very fortunate to have men and women on the front lines who care about their community. Jessica, I want to ask you this question. As a mother and a wife of you're dealing with this every day. How do you deal with the anxiety, and how do you encourage that wife of an officer? What do you say to her today?
Well, no one dislikes a bad cop more than a cop family. When you hear that someone has misused the power or the badge, it hurts the whole blue family, and that's what we call anyone in law enforcement, that we're a blue family, because we really are connected. And so to provide encouragement, it all starts, I think, in the home and in the family, because all of these officers have someone that cares about them, some that loves them. And so if they have people whispering in their ear or talking to them like, you should get out of law enforcement, or you need to find another career, or, you know, are you confident that this is the right calling for you? That wears on them. They know what they want to do, that they want to serve and protect. These are wonderful men and women that swear and take the oaths and really give part of their life. Because when you become, when you take up that badge and become an officer, it's not just a job from 9 to 5. You think about it all the time. I think of the stories of going to restaurants and eating, and my husband having to deal like a past criminal coming up to us, to him driving. He's not working, but he sees something and he feels obligated to stop and do something. So it's definitely more than just a job. It's something that's laid on their heart. And so family members, friends, you can be encouragement. You can, whatever, what you know those officers, what would provide some encouragement to them, maybe it's like, hey, I'm going to drop off a gift card so you can stop and have dinner or take a night off, or I want to watch your kids so you can have a date night. Or there's so many ways that we can come together in a community. I know Salem is a great community. I've heard about your, Stacey Ann's been sharing about your department, and I think that we need that more than ever. We need people to say thank you for your service and wrap our arms together, and that will make our country stronger, because we're having this unraveling of respect for authority. And it is more important than ever that we come together and step up. We are better together. I always like to say that. And so to the law enforcement officer wife that's listening, I want you to know that your fears are normal. People care about your officer, but we know that you obviously love them more, and we're here for you. And I wanted my book, Moments of Truth, to be that little bit of a light, a little bit of encouragement. And I remember when I would share some of my fears with people that didn't quite get it, just my normal friends and family, they're like, oh, you need to have more faith, or you need to pray about that more. I'm like, that's great. I do need more faith and I need to pray about that. But I need some tangible advice as well. And I need some tangible things taken care of. And so that's what I wanted my book, just to give some ideas. It's set up like a daily little devotional or little journal that you read just a little excerpt every day. I give a little prayer or a little action item to think about and a way for you to help your officer, whether it's like make sure that their uniform's clean, or drop off the stuff at the cleaners, or that you have healthy snacks in the refrigerator for them to grab, or that you just shoot them a text randomly to say you're doing a good job, that we can be there for them. And so that's what I wanted my little book to be. And I've heard some great feedback. It's been out in the public, available in Barnes & Noble and on Amazon for a year now. And I remember saying, after sharing kind of some deep parts of my heart in this book, was this all worth it? And I was almost like crying in the shower, like, was this worth it? Should I have done this? And I said to God, if you would let one police wife out there or one law enforcement wife just let me know that they understand and that I've helped them. And it wasn't even a week. And I got a Facebook message totally random from someone down south and said that she was searching for some encouragement in the middle of the night to help her as a police wife. I mean, you got to be in a certain spot if you're searching in the middle of the night for help, right? And she said, I found your book. I got the ebook version and tore through it. And I'm going to get the journal and write it and go through it. But she's like, I think you might have saved my marriage. And I'm going to really encourage my husband and I to get back with a community, get back into church, because we have really pulled away with some of the things that we've been through as a law enforcement family. And I just cried, because I'm like, it was all worth it then. And I think that's what we need. We need more people to step up and say, I've been there. Or everybody has their own story, right? Everybody has been through something. And when we share that, when we're vulnerable with each other and say, you're not alone, or I'm here for you, or I'll listen, we can have coffee, we can cry together, or we can complain together, or whatever, I'm here for you, that just makes the world a difference, because we need that in each other in our lives right now. It's stressful. And then let's add COVID to on top of that. And I know that we're in South Dakota. We're an open state. Governor Noem stood her ground. She never closed South Dakota, which I'm really proud of. But we still had our impacts. I was helping part-time at one of my friend's stores, and her store had to close for a while, and now it's back limited hours, and she had to reduce staff. So we've been hit financially. I had to figure out homeschooling our kids. So I have a high schooler and a middle schooler, and also a toddler. So if you can imagine me at home trying to figure out algebra again, and then helping my daughter with her schooling, because it was hard to do all the online stuff, and then potty training a three-year-old at the same time. It was really stressful. And then I was worried about my husband. He was being called out to different things. He even got called to the Capitol because there was threats that protesters were going to be heading there to try to destroy the beautiful Capitol in South Dakota and Pier. And so in the middle of the night, he's driving and I'm worrying about him. And thankfully nothing came of that, but he had to go, you know, he got the call, there might be a threat, and he had to go. And so that's not normal. All those things happening in our lives, and it can play a toll. It can be really stressful. That's why we really need each other, and we need good, positive news like you guys provide.
So good to get some feedback on the front lines from the other side that we don't see from the media, the real life up close. We're visiting with Jessica Mertz. We're having a wonderful conversation live from the Black Hills of South Dakota. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this.
Feeling a little bit more
good morning.
Good morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use to encourage, educate, engage, and empower. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, and we're hanging out together with Jessica Mertz. She is right here in the Black Hills of South Dakota. We're broadcasting live. In fact, the next few days, we have some fun interviews coming up and a little bit of history. I'm going to be putting some stuff up on Facebook. This is the City of Presidents. You may or may not have known that here in Rapid City. Every street corner is honoring a president. And of course, you know, Mount Rushmore is about 40 minutes, maybe 35 minutes on it if there's no traffic up the hill from here. And it's such a patriotic place. It's such a community. It's like that great American city. If you've not traveled to the Black Hills of South Dakota ever, I encourage you to put it on your bucket list. It's a beautiful place, and it's an economically pretty good feasible touristy place to bring your whole family. There's lots to do in the Black Hills. Of course, we have Mount Rushmore, but we also have Crazy Horse. Not too far from here is Devil's Tower in Wyoming. And it's just a wonderful destination people love to come to. And anybody I've known or met along the way, no matter if I've been in Laconia, New Hampshire, down in Florida, when I said I've lived in the Black Hills of South Dakota, they're like, oh, that's like God's country. And it really is. And of course, here in South Dakota right now, there's all kinds of freedom and liberties. You do not have to wear a mask. There are some businesses that ask you to. And of course, all the stores here have signs about social distancing, but there are many stores, which Oregonians won't know this at all, but you go into stores here, some of them don't even have signs on their doors telling you to wear a mask or reminding you to wash your hands or social distance. It's almost like a little breath of fresh air right here in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And so Jessica and I are talking a little bit about supporting our front lines and our police officers and our law enforcement. She's written this beautiful book, Moments of Truth, and it's a guidebook and an encouragement and inspirational way to come alongside wives of those who are in law enforcement and how to help them help their loved ones. And it really is a great tool and something needed in our, not only in our communities, but across the nation. And certainly I would think, Jessica, this would be also helpful to women who have husbands that are in the military. You know, pretty much any risk, you know, when they're putting their lives and they're swearing on the Constitution and saying, I'm going to defend this country and defend my community. There's the other half, the wife, the support person at home that, you know, is the emotional outlet of that in a sense. I want to know, Jessica, talk to us a little bit about what you guys do as a family to kind of disengage from that anxiety and stress and come together as a family. What do you do for fun? What do you do? How are you making life as normal as you can during this plandemic, I call it?
Well, life is stressful for anyone, but when you're a law enforcement family, it definitely puts another layer of stress on there. But I think the main thing is family first. It's very important. We have three children that range from 16 to a three-year-old, and that we spend good quality time together. And I try to have us all sit around the dinner table. I said at least three times a week, we need to have family dinner time and just catch up. But that's hard with people go in different directions. And I love, you mentioned that we're in the City of Presidents, we're in the beautiful Black Hills, and we love to spend time out. Within 15 minutes, we can be in various different canyons, up Spearfish Canyon, down to Custer State Park from where we live. So you'll find our family out on the boat or out hiking, and we just love where we live. It is a beautiful place, and I invite anyone to come here anytime. I mean, we're not immune. There's dangers, there's issues, but it is definitely a place that practices its freedom. We love our governor, Noam. Got the opportunity to hear her. We were one of the very lucky families that put our name into the drawing or bought a lottery ticket to go to Mount Rushmore for the 4th of July. And how that worked is there was just a couple days that you could buy a $1 lottery ticket, sign up your family to go, and only 7,500 people were selected, and our Mertz family was able to go. And it was really awesome because usually my husband is working those kind of details. He's been actually a sniper on top of Mount Rushmore when dignitaries have visited. I think when Obama visited a few years ago, he was up there providing security and support. So it was fun to just to be there as a family, even though he was always looking around at the security and knew everybody working. I was like, honey, we're enjoying this as a family. Quit talking to all the officers working. But it was a very safe. It was an amazing evening. Great programs. We heard some wonderful military bands, the best fireworks show that I've ever seen in my life. And then we had a wonderful flyover, Thunderbirds, the B-1 bomber. That was just out of this world. It just shook Mount Rushmore. And then we heard from President Trump. And that was amazing. My 13-year-old said, is this going to be boring? Is he going to talk a really long time? And at the end of it, she said, I love him. It was so amazing. I loved how he gave the history of all the presidents on the Hill. And she herself became like more confident in her country and more encouraged. And so it was really hard when I later heard people picking apart his speech. I'm like, if you were there, you would have just felt that we were all together. Just for one moment, we weren't thinking about issues in our country. We weren't worried about COVID. We weren't worrying about all those negative things. We were just one big happy American family. It didn't matter what color we were, Native American, Black. We were all one together celebrating our freedom as the United States. And it was just beautiful. It was out of this world. So once in a lifetime opportunity. I've been wanting to go to the fireworks at Mount Rushmore since I was 8 years old. And so turned out I got to do it about on my 40th birthday. So that was pretty awesome. So I loved that. But it was just nice to be a family together. And sometimes that doesn't always work out when you're in law enforcement. I'm getting ready to say goodbye to my husband this Sunday. He's leaving us for 5 months to go to more training as a U.S. Marshal on the East Coast. When you are going to law enforcement, you were sent away to lots of trainings, to different, whether that's your academy or your various trainings in different departments. And it's not a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday job. You're used to sharing your spouse. And that's really difficult. There's numerous times that we have not celebrated Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving or Christmas on Christmas or birthdays on birthdays. We're very flexible. That's kind of my motto. I'm just going to go with the flow. Just, that's what I kind of say, just go with it. And we make it work, but it's difficult and we need to be there for these families. And that's why I really was excited that Stacey Ann asked me to talk to the listeners of KSLM in the Salem area. I really wanted just to share my little heart with you through my book. Stacey and I have known each other for about 6 years back to some radio time together here in the Black Hills. And I love how life has brought us kind of connected together. And so when she said, you want to share about your book? Kind of did a, I don't know. Okay, yes, because it's a hard time to talk about law enforcement. And I don't want to feel like I'm promoting a book because there's scary things in law enforcement. I just really wanted this book to provide some encouragement. So I brought one of my books that's just been out a year today. I signed it and I'm going to give that to you, Stacey, and you figure out how to give that away to, if you know of somebody, she'll think of some creative way to somebody to win that book.
How about this? If you're listening right now and you know someone in your life, or maybe you personally are a wife of an officer or someone on the front lines, and you think that you'd like to have this book, send me the email. The first person he emails me, Stacey@KSLM.news, will get the book. How's that? What's the website again?
Website is momentsoftruthbook.com.
All right, and send me an email, Stacey@KSLM.news, and you can have this book. Thank you for listening today, my friends. It's been fun. Tomorrow's going to be another great adventure here in the Black Hills. Be sure to tune in. Tell your friends. Have a wonderful day. And remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you are facing today, we all are overcomers. Have a fantastic day.